Okay. Point three, B three, the separation of holy from the secular. 42, verse 20. And he majored in the foresight. It had a wall all around, 500 cubits long and 500 wide, to separate the holy area from the common. 1 cubit is equal to how many feet? About 1.5 feet. Okay, 500 cubit is about 800 feet wide and 800 feet long. A very tall wall had to build around the holy temple to separate the holy area from the common. So actually the wall has two functions. The first function is separation. The second function is protection. So the holy city should need to have a tall wall to separate and to protect. And what does that tall wall mean? In other chapters, talk about tall wall is the salvation. And tall wall also can represent your faith or the words of God. So right now, you are coming here, it's what? Build a tall wall. The prayer section, right? The worker talk about we have to tear down the wall, right? All depends on what kind of wall. Between you and God, there should have no wall. You have to tear down the wall. But between you and the world, you need to build a tall wall. As taller the better. Why? Because it will tell you what is in and what is out. If there's no wall, you cannot tell the boundary, right? You cannot tell the boundary. So wall is very important. Separation. So when you have strong faith, and the strong faith based on the words of God, and the strong faith based on the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and this faith can help you to defend the attack of Satan from the world, and can help you to separate the common place and the holy place. So it's very important, tall wall. Right now, what we worry the most is we are living in a, how to say English, 多元, huh? 多元文化, multicultural or polarized, right? Something like that. There are many different concepts, multicultural or there are different kind of ideal, right? Multiplied. We are living in this kind of society. So sometimes you talk to the members or even the youth, if they are not strong in faith, their concepts are not very clear, you know. For example, marriage. If you come back to the Bible tells you very clear, you have to marry the same faith. And this is the wall. You have this kind of concept. You build a wall. And the wall will help you to discern what is right and what is wrong. But if we don't have this kind of faith towards the teaching of the Bible, then as long as that person had a good condition, so-called good condition, not from the biblical point of view, so-called good condition from the worldly perspective. If that person has good condition or looks handsome, beautiful, I just fall in love with the person, I don't care about what the Bible says. So you have no standard to make a judgment what is right and what is wrong. It's very dangerous. Also, if you have the wall, a lot of times you know how to make decision. A lot of things. Choosing a career. You know, you try to find a job. If there is no God, if there is no God, you can choose a job based on how much is the compensation, or self-fulfillment, something like that, or the potential of your future. But if there is a God, then we try to find a job, you have to understand, can this job help me to serve God? Or from the neutral perspective, will this job affect me serving God? Or from the negative perspective, will this job prevent me from serving God? So if you have this kind of faith, and the faith will build a wall, and this wall will help you to discern whether the job is good for you or not. So when you decide a job, it's not because high income is good. It's not because within a very short period of time it can be promoted, then it's good. Not in that at all. You have a spiritual wall to separate the godly ideal from the worldly ideal. So this is one of the examples. Another example is, where are you going to live? Just what we mentioned before. If you send a mission, and you know God's will, it's perfectly okay for you to move to a place there is no church. But if you don't have a sense of mission, you don't understand God's will, the best way, don't move to a place there is no church. It definitely will affect your faith. So this is the war. Then you discern what is a godly, what is worldly concept. Another example, right now you are not married. One day you get married. When I see some family, I really feel very worried. Right? The husband doing the business, for example, in China, long time separation from the wife. When you come back to the teaching of the Bible, that's not right. And long-time separation leave a space for Satan. And long-time separation, why do you get married? And that you cannot take care of your children. If you have the will, strong faith, you know. The God's will is husband and wife should live together and to take care of the family. Then you live in United States, and then you may find a job not so ambitious, not earn so much money. But you go according to the teaching of the Bible. So a lot of times when we have strong faith about teaching the Bible, it will help us to discern. But a lot of people, even they believe in Jesus, you talk with them, there is no war. They don't know how to discern. It's very dangerous, really very dangerous. So if you get married, you want to move, the whole family has to move. That is the best idea. So war will help us to separate what is a worldly, what is godly, and also try to protect us. And this is a holy temple, surrounding the holy temple to build a wall. The church should be the same. Otherwise, the worldly concepts start to invade the church. Boeing Park Church, you know Boeing Park Church, right? We purchased a chapel from, I think, the Methodist Church. Before the chapel been handed over to us, and they requested to do a potluck with us. And the pastor just sit in front of me. I just, out of curiosity, I asked him, what is the church purpose for this community? And he told me that the purpose of this church community is for what? Homosexual. I was very shocked. That was in 1997, 1998. And then that pastor started to quote the teaching of the Bible, tried to brainwash me, homosexual is right. I know, he tried to interpret the Bible to fit into his lifestyle. Not to change himself into the teaching of the Bible. Then I asked him, I say, this is a personal, you don't have to answer. Are you homosexual? And he paused about 30 seconds. He said, yes, I am homosexual. Can you imagine? Right now, Christianity already have no wall. So the church already totally secularized. There's no God, even no movement of God. That is the reason the other church keep on selling the church. So build a tall wall is very important. Right now you are building the wall. Now, chapter 43 is talk about the glory of God. We are going to read from verse 1 to verse 5. The glory of God comes from where? Which side? From the east. This is a prefiguration or a prophecy, right? The true church should come from the east. There are some other prophecy in the Old Testament too. But the glory of God will come from the east. So you look into the history, right? 1917, the true church was built in China. Right? Just like somebody introduced Jesus, right? Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth. Nathanael was very straightforward. Can anything good come from Nazareth, right? There's something good must come from Jerusalem, right? How come from Nazareth? Oh, the same thing. Oh, in the beginning of 20th century, China is what? So weak country, right? Oh, can anything good come from China? Oh, of course, right now, made in China may not be too good, right? Oh. Okay, so when we say true church come from China, a lot of people just cannot accept the fact. But the Bible says the glory of God come from the east. Oh, if you look into the later part, right, the water, the living water will flow out from the east, from the side of east. So what can we say? The Bible says also God just fulfilled according to his promise in the Bible. Oh. Now, one is even more important. Huh? So we should not look down upon ourselves. Huh? Oh, the theology, when you talk about theology, it must come from what? Germany. It must come from United States. The truth salvation, the truth of salvation come from the revelation of God in the true church. Come from the East. Oh, so I was told, I think this is a true story. 1930s, when there's a elder group, come to Hawaii, try to do some evangelical outreach. When he reached to Hawaii, right, and the custom, the immigration agent asked him, what are you going to do? He said, I come to here to preach the gospel. That agent was laughing. Oh, I come from China, you come to preach the gospel in Hawaii. Oh, it's supposed Americans send the missionary go to China and preach and ask him, how much money do you bring? I think at that time he was very poor, right? He put only maybe 2-3 days mana, that's only, right? Oh. But very soon, a branch of TJC was built in Hawaii. Oh. Why? Because of the power of God. Oh. So the glory will come from the east. This is the teaching of the Bible. Oh. This is a fact. Now this, verse 7, chapter 43, verse 7. And he said to me, Son of man, this is the place of my throne and the place of the sole of my feet where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel. This is the place of my throne. Where is the place of God's throne? Where? Where is the place of God's throne? Huh? According to here, 43. The temple built on top of the high mountain. And that represents true Jesus church. The church in the later day. So church is the throne of God. According to Ephesians chapter 1, the last verse. Oh, what does the Bible say? Ephesians chapter 1, last verse. Verse 22, and he put the thing under his feet and give him to be the head over all things to the church. Church. And verse 23, church is his body, the fullness of him who fill all in all. Oh. So church is the place God fill upon. Oh. 充满万有者所充满. The one who can fill upon all the universe is God himself. And church is a place filled up by God. So church is the throne of God. So when we come to the church, don't consider this is a what? Oh, nothing but human organization. The throne of God here. The throne of God here has two meanings. Right? 施恩的宝座, the throne of mercy. And the throne of judgment. Oh. So when you come to church and pray, God is here. The throne is here. God will answer your prayer. Oh, you will receive the blessing. You will receive the Holy Spirit. But don't forget, church is the throne of God of judgment. Do you know what happened? 那因此都是阿拿尼亚， right? That time, Holy Spirit filled upon the apostolic church. Really, God was in the apostolic church, right? And Ananias come, right? Bring the money. And Peter was moved by Holy Spirit. Is that all you have? Right? And Ananias said, yes. And Peter said, why do you, what? Deceive the Holy Spirit. And Ananias fall down and die. The young man just carry Ananias, bury. Right? And over the lunchtime, no, the Bible did not say that. I have just imagined. Over the lunchtime, the wife looking for the husband, right? And come to the church. Oh, where is my husband? And Peter said, come. Is that all your money? And Ananias said, yes. Why do you deceive the Holy Spirit together with your husband and fall down? And the young man just come in and carry another one to bury. This is the throne of judgment in the church. Do you think two person die? If two person die in the Pacifica church, next Sabbath, every member, before they come into the chapel, they must repent a lot. God, forgive me. Oh, because if you don't repent, you come back, it becomes the third person. Oh, right. The whole church will fill with fear because God is here. Oh, this is a throne of judgment. So when you come to the church, be godly. Some people come into the church, just put on the feet on the pew of the front seat, right? Some people come into the church, inside the chapel, and talking the gossip or talking nonsense or talking some. One day I was in the church. I was so shocked. In the bookshelf, I see the Playboy magazine. Who is so bold? Oh, I don't know. Oh. This is the temple of God. This is not a school. Oh. So when you come to the church, you have to have a heart of reverence. No, this is the temple of God. God is here. No, it's to bless you. But if you are stubborn, if your heart is hardened, God is going to judge the person. So when a person serves God with a very reverent attitude, you will be blessed. But if we serve God with a very stubborn heart, strong will, sooner or later the service will bring us some disadvantage. Because this is the throne of God's judgment. So God is here. And then, God will abide forever. Verse 9, chapter 43, verse 9. Now let them put their hollow tree and the carcasses of their king far away from me, and I will dwell in their midst forever. So you have to put everything filthy away. So God will dwell among us forever. So we are very much blessed in the world. Do you know? In the sense that God dwells in the church. And we are part of the church. Our heart is the temple of God. And God abides in us, dwells in our heart. In this sense, we are very much blessed. And He will abide in us forever. We thank God. Now we're going to the last point. The glory filled with the temple. Last point. Depart from prostitution and lifeless idol. So we should not defile the temple of God. So this is the holy temple of God. Now, point 5. 圣殿的法则, the law of the temple. There must be a law of temple be applied to the temple, to be applied to the church. Chapter 43, verse 12. This is the law of the temple. The whole area surrounding the mountain top is most holy. Behold, this is the whole of law of the temple. What is the law of the temple? The whole area surrounding the mountain top is most holy. This is the law of temple. So the church is a holy place. When we say church, actually we are talking about two things. The first thing is materially talking about these premises is holy. The second is talk about spiritual sense. The spiritual church is holy. Both of them are equally important. Do you know, one day Moses was passing by the Mount of Horeb, right? And he saw a bush burning with fire. And Moses feels very strange. Every day I pass here, how come today the bush was burning with fire? And even the fire is so fierce, right? And the bush was not burned out. What happened? He wanted to go and approach the bush to take a look. What happened? And there was a voice said, Moses, take off your shoes, because this is a holy place. How come every day it was not a holy place? Today is a holy place because God appeared in there. So this becomes a holy place. So before we purchase this piece of land, for example, Pacifica, this piece of land is nothing but a piece of land. But after we acquire this of land and we dedicate the premises to God, we hand on the signboard, True Jesus Church, and this is not an ordinary land. This is a holy place. Even if it's material, this is a holy place. Because we already dedicate this piece of land to God. But one day, if our church move out, all right, and we take out away the signboard, we sell the church, and this is not a holy land anymore, because we don't use this as a holy chapel again. Oh. So when you come to the church, we have to be come with a heart of reverence. We have to distinguish this is a different place. So the material speaking, physically speaking. And spiritually speaking, what is the church? From spiritually speaking, what is the church? According to Acts chapter 26, right? Church is a group of people who have been sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. This is called church. So in China, we are so-called underground church, right? One day I was teaching in, junior high or what. Do you know what is underground church? One say, I know. The church who holds the service underground. Yes, there may be underground church, but what we call underground church is what? A church without chapel. One day they serve in the service in the riverside, the other day they serve the church service in the mountainside, the other day serve the church in the what? Living room. Let's go underground, secretly holding the service. Even though they don't have a chapel, they have a church. So we gather together, called the body of Christ, the church. Jesus Christ is in heaven. He is the head. But we, the person, being sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ, we are his body. So Jesus and us actually connected, become one whole body. So this is a holy place. And so we have to keep the church holy. And then 43 verse 12, we already mentioned, had to be built on top of the mountain, transcend the mountain wall. Chapter 44, verse 5. An area 25,000 cubits long and 10,000 white shall belong to the Levites. Okay, chapter 44, verse 5 is right. Okay. And the Lord said to me, son of man, mark well, see with your eyes, and hear with your ears all that I say to you concerning all the ordinances of the house of Lord and all its law. Mark well who may enter the house and all who go out from the sanctuary. So you have to pay attention, who may enter the house and all who go out from the sanctuary. So what does that mean? Go in and go out represents the entrance. So since it is a holy place, so God commanded Ezekiel, you have to pay attention to the entrance. So what does that mean? We have to guard the church. Oh, do not let the worldly concept go in. Oh, we have to guard it. Because this has been built a tall wall, right? There's only one entrance. We have to keep the entrance very well. Oh, so when we try to elect the council member or we try to elect the RE teacher, they are the one who responsible of the church, right? RE teacher responsible of the teaching the next generation. It's very important. We have to look at their spiritual qualification. If they are very worldly, we cannot let them come into the RE department. Because they will bring a worldly concept to the RE department. If they are very godly, we are welcome them to come to join the church council. Because they will bring the church into the right direction. So, in the church, the most important thing is the direction of the church. This is the most important thing, whether the direction is right or wrong. And the direction will decide by what? Decide by church council. So, when we have the election of church council, very important emphasis is not how capable you are. It's not how much achievement you have. It's not how good education you are. The most important is spiritual qualification. So we have to look at the entrance. Don't let the secular one come in. The IE department the same. The same thing. The most important is spiritual qualification. Don't let the worldly come in. Well, spoil the whole group. This is a holy temple. So you have to guard on the entrance. Don't let the secular come in. This is a very important principle. So when we do the church business, we don't talk about connection. Do you know if you want to do the business in China, what is important? They are ruled by men, not by law. So what is important? 关系. What is 关系 means? Connection. So when do the church work, we don't talk about connection. Because I'm well connected to so-and-so, so it's no problem for me to become an RE teacher. Because I'm connected to so-and-so, so it's no problem, I can do this, do that. In church, we don't do that. No, because this is the temple of God. We go according to the godly principle. Anyone who is qualified, welcome. Anyone who is not qualified is not welcome. That is the principle. Because God is the one who sits in the throne in the church. So this is what we have to emphasize. The next one, chapter 44, verse 9. The uncircumcised are forbidden to enter the sanctuary. 44, verse 9. Thus said the Lord God, no foreigner, uncircumcised in heart, or uncircumcised in flesh, shall enter my sanctuary, including any foreigner who is among the children of Israel. Foreigner means what? They are not chosen people, so they cannot come into the church, the sanctuary. So today, what does that mean? Are we emphasized on inviting the truth seeker to the church? Yes. We have to do evangelical outreach to save more people. But how come the Bible say the foreigner cannot come into the holy temple? That's different meaning. Which means anyone who is not baptized cannot participate the holy work. Yes, they can come and listen the gospel. They cannot participate the holy work. For example, if right now there is a person, right, master in education, major in education, and very well trained a teacher in school, and was very skillful to teach the students and very well known in that region, and this truth seeker come to the church, can we use the truth seeker to become an IE teacher? He know how to the skill to manage the students. He even knows the Bible very well. But he is not baptized. Can we use the one to become an IE teacher? No. According to the Bible, it's no. Why? because he is a foreigner. He is not baptized yet, so he is not a member of God, so he cannot teach our students. No. So this is the principle we have to emphasize. Not circumcised. Circumcised, according to the Old Testament, is a sign of the Israelite. You know Moses, right? In the wilderness, God wants to kill him. Why? Because Moses' two sons not circumcised yet. And when Moses circumcised the two sons, and God accept him. Oh. So only when a person receives the baptism, belong to God and can serve God. So teaching at IE's department is serve God. A person without baptism is not qualified to serve God. Is not qualified to teach. No. This is the biblical principle. Oh. Not go according to the worldly standard. No. So, and circumcision, another one is in heart, right? You talk about in heart. What do that mean? Even though you are an Israelite, if you are not circumcised in the heart, you cannot serve in the temple. So what does that mean? If we are the baptized member, circumcision represents remove the lust. If our heart are not sanctified, still filled with lust, we are not qualified to serve God. No. So serving God has outer condition. You must be baptized. Has inner condition. You must remove lust from your heart. Oh. So those who are not circumcised cannot go into the temple. Oh. That's a very important meaning. We have to emphasize. Now we look into one thing we forgot to mention. Chapter 41. Now, chapter 41. Verse 6 and 7. Chapter 41, verse 6 and 7. The side chamber were in three stories, one above the other. 30 chambers in each story. They rested on ledges, which were for side chambered all around, that they might be supported, but not fastened to the wall of the temple. Verse 7. Pay attention to 7. As one went up from the story to story, the side chamber became wider all around, because their support ledges in all the wall of the temple ascended like a step. Therefore, the width of the structure increased as the one went up from the lower story to the higher by way of the middle one. What do that mean? There are stories, right? The building has three stories, and the higher story is wider. Have you ever seen this kind of building? Usually, especially in California, right? I was told that yesterday, Los Angeles, an earthquake, right? And there's a big earthquake waiting for the Californian, right? When the big earthquake will strike, nobody knows. So you build a structure, right? Usually, the bottom one is the wider one, right? And then the taller, you become what? Small and smaller, right? So it may become more stable. Oh. So a shorter one, wrestling is not easy to be what? Stumble in the ground. You are very tall, it's very easy. You just fall down on the ground. Right? The same thing. But the temple of God is different. The first story is not so wide, but the second story is wider, and the third story even wider. It's different from the natural law. This is a spiritual law. So what does that mean? The higher spiritual you are, the wider is your room, spiritual room, your eyesight. It's very interesting. Very interesting. If you look into the mountain, right? You look at the other side, is the ocean, right? You look into the mountain, then your viewpoint cannot go over the mountain. Right? The mountain is a limit. You cannot go over the mountain. But when you climb up to the top of the mountain, you are able to see the far, far place. You are able to see the what? San Francisco Airport and and East Bay and other location. You can see further, but you have to overcome the mountain. Even though the mountain looks beautiful, but you have to overcome it in order to see the farther place. So what does that mean? You look in front of you, there are a lot of good things, right? Good job, high income, and stable living. It's just like a mountain. You every day look at a mountain, very beautiful. So you don't want to move. Oh, you just remain in there, enjoy that kind of scenery. But the whole life, you only enjoy that scenery. But if you were able to transcend, overcome that beautiful scenery, then you are going to see more beautiful, wider scenery there. So I heard a full-time minister testify, right? Before he committed to become full-time minister, one thing bothered him is, right now I receive so high income, but if I become full-time minister, my income only one-third or 50%. I have so much income, it's just like a beautiful scenery. Because of income, I can have a big house, I can have vacation, I can buy a car. Oh. But if I always looking at this beautiful scenery, I don't want to climb higher, then all my life I only can see this beautiful scenery. But if I were able to climb over the beautiful scenery, you're going to see far better place. Oh, so after he devoted to become full-time minister, all of a sudden he realized, oh, spiritual realm is so wonderful. It's so beautiful. It's so satisfying. Oh, we have a retired minister attend the TDP recently. And he testified, oh, thank God I'm able to attend the TDP class, even though he is only autistic student. Oh, separate from the home for 2-3 months and gather together every day, morning pray 1 hour and 4 hours of class, and afternoon and pray another hour and study the Bible. After a few months, he feels so much satisfied spiritually. He saw so wide and so huge, beautiful things in the Bible. Oh. So, the higher you are, the wider the room will be. You must climb up higher in order to occupy the wider room. Oh. So you must have that kind of ambition. So I would like to encourage, even though you are only a student, right? Set a goal. What is the goal? Right. When I have no financial needs, all your children grown up, you have no financial need, retire earlier, then attend the church training program and start to serve God. That was the best lifestyle. Do you know, in your age, if you don't have a heart of serving God, when you reach to the middle age, you will be entangled by your family, your children too much. But when you reach to the middle age, you don't serve God. When you retire, you will never think about serving God. When you retire, you only think about, I'm moving to Las Vegas, I'm moving to Florida to enjoy retired life. That's all. But if you look to people who move to the retired location now, even though you look at them, seems they enjoy the life, but practically speaking, they move there waiting for death. Surely, that's the only thing you can say. Oh. So if you start from now, you have heart of serving God, even though you are in rich middle age, you still have heart of serving God. You will make up your time to serve God. But when you reach to the retired age, you will continue to serve God. I know there's a volunteer right now, just travel all over the world, and he support himself financially because he has the financial means. And one day I asked him, don't you feel tired? He said, oh, when I was working in a company, I know that his position in the company is quite high. When I work in some company, I want to serve God, but I really I cannot do it. But right now, I can retire earlier, so I was able to serve God. I really touched. Oh, serving God become his goal of the life. Oh, so wider, higher is the wider. Oh, we have to climb up higher. Now we'll come back to the teaching material. Chapter 44 from 13 to 27. Yeah, talking about two kinds of servitude from the Levite. Oh. One is good and the other one is no good, right? The first part of the servitude is no good, from verse 9 to verse 14. And verse 15, another Levi, the serving guy, is good. But the priest of Levites, the son of the Zadok, who kept charge of my sanctuary when the children of the Israelite went astray from me, and they shall come near to me to minister me, and they shall stand before me to offer me the fat and the blood, says the Lord. Here talk about the person can serve me. And then you look into verse 12. Verse 12. Because they minister to them before their idols, and caused the house of the Israel to fall into the iniquity. Therefore, I have raised my hand in the oath against them, and saying the law, and that they shall bear the iniquity. Verse 13, and they shall not come near to me to minister to me as a priest. So one of the priests, God said, they cannot come near to me. But another priest said, God said, they can come to me. Why? Because their life is different. So in order to serve God, we have to live a holy life. Now, whatever you have done and done, just let it go. From today on, you have to determine to live a new life. And in front of God, God will consider you as worthy to serve Him. This is very important. Do you know, David wants to build the temple of God, and God said no. Why? Because your hand has blood. You can only prepare the material, but you cannot build the temple of God. So he only made the preparation, and Solomon built the temple of God. So the more noble work, the more important work, the higher spiritual standard required. So if you want to greatly use by God, my brother, sister, you must keep yourself holy so you can be used by God. So there are two kinds of priests. One God wants to use, the other one cannot come into the sanctuary. And what is the duty of the priest? Is to offer the sacrifice, verse 27. Before they come into the temple to serve God, they offer the sacrifice to redeem their sin. They should be holy before they come to serve God. And then they have to put on the cross, ephod, put on the cross so they can serve God. So we serve God, we have to put on spiritual adornment and effort. Ephod has some spiritual meaning, some matter of the line of sky color, some of the gold, some of the bronze. They all have different kinds of spiritual meaning. So in order to serve God, you need to put on certain spiritual characteristic so that you can serve God. You should transcend the world. You should the gold have a good face. A lot of character. We have to prepare ourselves to serve God. And then, what is the rewards for the Levite as a priest? 44 verse 28. And I shall be in regard to their inheritance, that I am their inheritance. I am their inheritance. Their inheritance is God Himself. So, don't worry too much that if I become full-time minister, will my hunger become what? Malnutrition. Because of lack of money. Nothing will happen that. Do you know when God chose you to serve Him, don't you think God will glorify His name? Yes. God wants to glorify His name in you and in your family. How can God let you suffer? No. Right? Do you look into the full-time minister in the United States? Anybody suffer? Nobody. Even though some of them has nothing, but they have everything. Why? Because God is their inheritance. This is what we should have faith upon. I serve God. God is the father of everything. So God will support my needs. So when we have this faith, you walk on the road of servitude, then you will experience God's servitude, God's provision. It's a wonderful experience. Wonderful. You are going to see the miraculous provision of God every day. God is a living God. So serving God is not looking for a job. Because I lose the market value, so I'm coming to church to find some job to do. No, that's not should not be the way. Serving God is the dedication. Right? You have a market value of 100K, and you sacrifice and dedicate to God to show your love to God, your commitment to God. And God will become your property. So this is the promise of God. And chapter 47, the water is going to flow from the temple, right? And from to the east. And chapter 47, verse 1 to 5, the water will become what? The current will become stronger and stronger and stronger. Initially, you are able to go through the water, but when the water becomes so strong, you can only what? Be carried away by the water. So what does that mean? Holy Spirit. When we are totally filled by the Holy Spirit will carry you away into God's direction. Holy Spirit, very strong. Very strong. So today, we need to have to pray more. Why? Because we are not filled by the Holy Spirit. Yes, we do have Holy Spirit, but we are not filled by the Holy Spirit. So how long should we pray? We always ask a question, right? 30 minutes, is that enough? 1 hour, is that enough? You open the Bible. Bible never say how long do you pray, right? How long do we pray? Just set your goal. I want to be filled by the Holy Spirit. That should be your goal. Then how long do you pray? I don't know. You just pray until you are filled by the Holy Spirit. That's enough. Alright? So, we have to set our goal. Be filled by the Holy Spirit, then we'll experience the mighty power of God through the Holy Spirit to carry our life. To guide your ways. And then, this water is a water of life from verse 6 to verse 12. Wherever the water flows through, right, the two sides, all the trees grow, all the fruit trees bear the fruit. This is the water with life. So Holy Spirit is the water with life. If the Holy Spirit goes through your heart, then you will bear the fruit, glorify His name. If the Holy Spirit goes through you, your ministry, then your ministry will bear the fruit to glorify the name of God. So in them, we have to be filled by the Holy Spirit. In verse chapter 48, and they try to divide the land, to occupy the land. This is their property. And that land represents the kingdom of God. Peace, joy, and righteousness. When you serve God, God is going to give you peace, joy, and righteousness. That's your portion in your heart, beside the portion in heaven. And 48, 35, this is the last sentence. We finish. We read this sentence, then we finish. Chapter 48, verse 35. All the way around shall be 18,000 cubits, and the name of the city from that day shall be the Lord is there. The Lord is there. The Lord is here in the temple of God, in the true church. So let us prepare ourselves ready and come and serve Him in the temple of God. Okay, let's pray in silence.